Welcome to Cloud Talk Radio, where listeners hear from business leaders about relevant topics from marketing to cash flow management. Tune in every week with hosts Robert J. Chandler and Keith Enix and stay engaged with a growing audience of like-minded entrepreneurs. Learn critical business skills and get answers to questions that help you manage better businesses. Cloud Talk Radio, your business resource in the internet age.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Cloud Talk Radio. Yes, it's Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, where we're getting loud in the cloud. My name is Robert Chandler, along with our co-host, Keith Dennix, and want to thank you for listening in today's episode. And if you didn't listen to last week's show, we discussed the highlights of and predictions of 2014, so don't forget to definitely take a listen to that show, and you can go to Cloud Talk Radio and click on past episodes and download that and listen to that on the go at iTunes. If you're listening to Cloud Talk Radio and you'd like to join us, go ahead and join us by visiting us at Cloud Talk Radio on LinkedIn or Facebook. We'd love to basically hear your stories. Or if you have any questions from us for us, go ahead and email us at questions@CloudTalkRadio, or if you have maybe a recommended guest, you can just drop us a line at questions@CloudTalkRadio.com. Well, today we're going to be discussing the five do's and don'ts of running a successful family business. Yes, I said family business. Have you ever thought about going into business with a family member? If you have, you might, again, be in business with a family member today. Stay tuned. We're going to have Jed and Taylor Parker of Radio City Promotions. They are a father and son that have a business and started a business together and been very successful. And we're going to be finding out the items that have made them successful. And we're going to be discussing those difficult situations, those times where they don't agree. So they're going to be giving us some great feedback of how to be successful. But before we get to that, I want to bring in our co-host, Keith Enix, where he brings to you the key thought of the week. And Keith, how are you doing? I know you have a big Sunday ahead of you, where Seattle is hopefully on to the Super Bowl. And so I just want to say hi to all my Seattle friends up there in Seattle, and hopefully everything will go well for you.
Well, thanks a lot, Rob. You know, I joke around that our new state flag is the Seahawks, so if you are a Washingtonian now, you are Seahawks everything. It's just crazy how much the craze of Seahawks has taken over. Not only people wearing Seahawks stuff, but businesses doing promotions with Seahawks and everything. So it's kind of funny how everything has changed over here over the last year, and potentially another Super Bowl win coming up. We'll see how we do this weekend, and I'm really looking forward to seeing them win. I do have a key thought for the week I wanted to share with everybody. I did something interesting, Rob. I had my team do some personality tests this week, and it was a real eye-opener for me. I don't know if you've done this with your team before, maybe personally, but I just wanted to let the listeners know, because I learned so much from doing this personality test, not just about myself, but about my employees, and in a way that made me more aware of how to manage them better. Because here's an example, you can have a personality that communicates more on an analytical level, and you can have a personality that communicates more on a feeling level, and you can say one thing to each person, and they would interpret that entirely differently. And that was kind of eye-opening for me to see that. For me to be an effective manager and to help people get to that next level in leadership, a personality test is sort of like a blueprint to kind of help you get started on how to communicate with people. I'm not trying to put people in a box. You know, that's not my goal, and I don't think that's even the goal of the personality test. But it does kind of give you a great starting place on how to get to that next level with leadership.
So you said something there I want to talk about, and I think it's one of the most important aspects of any business, and that is communication. I know we've talked about this on many occasions, but and you know, you put a word in front of that, and that was strategic or strategy communication. And I think that's really important for a business success. I mean, when I look back onto a situations where there's maybe been an issue or a problem in our organization, I can tell you I always turn back and the first thing I look at is communication, and I want to say that I'm always right there.
Yeah. Yeah, at least you're always right there, right? You could say.
Exactly.
That's good. I like that one, Rob. I'm going to use that. hey, I was right on communication. That was the problem. that's good. Have you guys dealt with that kind of stuff? Because this was kind of a new thing for me. And, you know, have you guys ever done personality tests or anything like that? Or
no, we haven't done personality tests. We've done, you know, many different types of other exercises, team building,
sure,
and those type of things. But, you know, personality tests, I think that's a very interesting one. You know, it's one of those things where I always talk about our business and our employees and the personalities are very important. Because if you really think about it, we spend more time, or at least I spend more time with my probably my employees than I do with my family. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, it's those personalities and understanding which ones are, you know, which ones, you know, the differences and those type of things. And, you know, how do you deal with different personalities? Just, you know, working through the different issues that you might have. So it's mm-hmm. something that can be definitely challenging. And I think that's where it goes back to, you know, having department meetings and having employee meetings and keeping everybody on the same page. And it's okay to have different personalities. It's okay to disagree. But, you know, how do you work through those issues when they do arise?
Exactly. I mean, you might have a disagreement, you know, kind of going back to that feeling and analytical. And the disagreement is purely because people are filtering something differently. It's not really because there should be. And if you can nail that down and really work through it, then you can collaborate. So that's kind of where I see the benefit there. And I think it really ties into our show today because, you know, we're talking about building businesses with family. And you'll hear in our show today, Jed and Taylor talking about communication and how important that is as a family. And so I'm really excited about today's interview. This is a great dad and son team, and they're going to be discussing the five do's and don'ts of running a successful family business. And, you know, you maybe have heard of family businesses that's a disaster. Or maybe you've been in a disaster family business. Or maybe you're in a great family business. I'm in one right now. I have three out of the four partners here at Fanit are family. And two of those are active partners and one's inactive. But we've got a great dynamic here, and I'm really looking forward to hearing Jed and Taylor talk about that. But before we get to today's interview, we're going to go ahead and just take a quick commercial break. So we'll be right back.
Are you a business owner or accountant looking to get an edge over your competition? Are you looking to save time as well as generate more revenue for your business? Well, then you need to check out cloud9realtime.com. Cloud9 Realtime offers business owners and accountants a fully cloud-based desktop of QuickBooks and business applications in a central location. You'll be able to collaborate more effectively with your customers on QuickBooks and discover more efficient business hosting tools. Save time for yourself and your clients, as well as gain access to the Cloud9 Realtime community, which provides you with information and tools you need to help your business grow. Visit cloud9realtime.com today to learn more. That's cloud9realtime.com.
Well, welcome back to Cloud Talk Radio. This is Robert Chandler. I want to thank everyone for listening today as we discuss the five do's and don'ts of running a successful family business. Yes, I said successful family business. I don't know if you've ever thought about, you know, going into business with your family, but if you're a small business today, you're most likely in business with your family. So we're going to be speaking with Jed and Taylor Parker of Rain City Promotions. They do any promotion items that you need for your business, and they are a successful marketing firm in the Seattle area that helps businesses connect with their target audience in a way that builds strong brand. So we're going to be speaking to them here in a second, but I want to bring back my good friend and co-host Keith Enix, and he's just done some research on building a successful family business, and he came across an article in the Harvard Business Review, which is a great business magazine. So, Keith, why don't you share that with the radio listeners?
Yeah, sure, and I'll go ahead and put a link down there in the description for our listeners to go ahead and check that out while we're just talking about this. It's a pretty interesting article. You can go ahead and read that and while you're listening or reference that after the show. But it's interesting, 70% of family-owned businesses fail or are sold before the second generation gets a chance to take over. Just 10% remain active privately held companies for the third generation to lead. In contrast to publicly owned firms in which the average CEO tenure is 6 years, many family businesses have the same leaders for 20 or 25 years, and these extended tenures can increase the difficulties of coping with shifts in technology, business models, and consumer behavior. And just thinking about business, family business, this really hits home for me because three of the partners here at Fanit are all family. And so I think that this radio show today is just going to be really interesting to kind of dig into how Jed and Taylor Parker of Green City Promotions go at their family business and some of the things you can avoid, some of the do's, some of the don'ts, and some of the mindsets you should have when owning your family business. So glad to have you guys on the show with us here, Jed and Taylor. And maybe, I'm not sure if you want to, Jed or Taylor, whichever one of you, why don't you give a little bit of background on how you guys came into Rain City Promotions, and then we'll get to our first question here today.
Great. Okay, this is Jed Parker, and Taylor is my son in real life at work. He's the VP of sales. And how we came into this business is I recently had an opportunity to retire from a Fortune 70 company, and at the age that I'm at, in my mid-50s, I really didn't want to sit home. And my son, Taylor, has been always wanting to start a promotional products business. I've always had an interest in it. And so we sat down together, kind of drew up a business plan, and said, let's go give this thing a shot. I have, my background includes managing distribution businesses, which could be anywhere from a 30,000 square foot warehouse with maybe 20 employees to a 200,000 square foot warehouse with 150 employees and managing different locations. But it was in the packaging and facility supplies business. So I was familiar with the distribution, supply chain process, as well as managing managers and the sales team. So it was a good fit. And, Taylor had been selling for, a wine and spirits, company. And so we made an investment and got started in this business.
I think about your story and how it's really neat. You guys are the ones that we're interviewing here because it's very rare, I think, that you would find a family business start where actually one of the people in the business actually has a lot of experience in basic business practices, management, a lot of those areas where I would say small business and family struggle.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. I've been very fortunate that in my career, again, this is Jed talking, but in my career, I had, I would call it the good fortune, but to be in a number of different sized locations, manage a number of different sized sales teams and operational teams. And in many cases, kind of my calling card and my expertise when I was at that organization was fixing our struggling divisions is kind of how I made my name in that industry. So this was a really good fit for us to put this thing together and give it a shot.
No, definitely. You know, it's interesting how businesses get started. We're speaking with Jed and Taylor Parker of Rainy City Promotions, and you can find them at raincitypromotions.com. They're up in the Seattle area. And, you know, we're going to jump into some of our questions, and I'm going to jump in and probably ask a very difficult question right off the bat, and that is, how do you deal with the differences that you might have, you know, with the father-son family business, and then who makes the final say?
That's interesting.
I want to hear that one.
I'm going to give my shot at it, and then we'll let Taylor answer it as well. It's probably going to be similar, I hope, but you know, I think one of the things that's really important in any business, and again, as I said, I have the good fortune of being in some difficult situations during my 30 years at the company I was at before, but is transparency and really to embrace humility, that You know, you really have to understand, whether it be a family business or any kind of business, it's really important to be open and honest and be willing to listen to someone else's opinion. That does take, there is no question, just like in any marriage or relationship whatsoever, to be humble and be able to listen with an open mind to different ideas. And you have to be disciplined about that, because it's much easier with a family member to kind of demonstrate a frustration. It feels like a safer place to do that. But that's where you have to call upon, you know, your professionalism and really approach situations that way. So that's how I personally deal with it. Assuming we're going to hear something similar from Taylor, but we're going to let him give his perspective.
I would honestly, I would say probably pretty much the exact same thing that he said. But to answer on the who has the final say, I would say in that on any certain types of decisions, it's just kind of the person who has the most either knowledge in that situation or can pretty much prove that they know this is the right decision to make. I would say that it's that way maybe 30 to 40% of the time, and then mostly it's, I just kind of go off of what he says for decisions and whatnot, just because of his extensive knowledge and distribution.
No, definitely that's, you know, I think what he said is, you know, listening is probably one of the, you know, probably one of the hardest thing to do when you're in the business. How do you deal with, you know, when you make that decision, you have differences and you go with that decision, whether it's the right one or the wrong one? How do you deal with if it's the wrong one, and how do you basically deal with when there's differences and it turns out and it blows up in, you know, someone else's face? How do you guys deal with that stress and you know, your family, your father and son, and, you know, how do you basically deal with that stress when the decision was the wrong one?
Well, I think that's where it is so very important. I just think it's a phenomenal characteristic of any individual, period, is to embrace humility. Because if you don't, if you're not humble, the opposite of that would be you think you know everything. And so it's very difficult to listen or change your view on something. But that's a big part of being successful in anything that you do, is have a willingness to change direction, to accept that maybe you're wrong, to admit that you're wrong, and you just got to move on. And I think it's important that you know when you start the business that, you know, there are going to be ups and downs, and this has to be a professional relationship between 8 and 5. And to this point, I think we've been pretty fortunate that way. We really have, and a willingness to listen. And maybe that's easy for me to say, because Taylor has been so gracious when we're making decisions to, you know, take my experience. And I don't know how unique it might be, but, you know, this was a startup from day one with us. So, you know, from that perspective, while I have a lot of experience in distribution, there are some different products that we're dealing with. We don't have an inventory necessarily, that we have an enormous investment in. And so I have things that I need to learn as well, but he has the ability to lean on my experience. And if we make a mistake, we know, hey, we agreed on this and it didn't work, so we got to find a new direction.
Yeah.
Agree with that 100%. Interesting. So, you know, I mentioned we have a family business over here at Fanit as well. And we're an online marketing company, and we have two active partners in the family. One's inactive. He's my dad. He does construction business type stuff. And, you know, I've always felt really close to my family, and I've always had a sense of building a community. And building a community type business and just having my family involved, to me, has just been a big joy. And I look at this number, you know, 70% of family owned businesses fail or are sold. And to me, that's kind of appalling. And I know we're kind of talking about do's and don'ts today, but I have this question because I've considered it too. And, you know, I'll kind of give, maybe how I feel after you say something about it. But I'm curious, would you ever fire your son or other family members? Why or why not?
Well, I think that the first thing is, as we grow, if it would come to that point, I think that that might be, that it would be something that if it was necessary to happen, it would happen. But I think that, you know, and it was something I felt very similar about in the other businesses that I managed. And one of the things that people felt, in the divisions that I managed for our organization was a sense of community. And I think if you're open and honest with people and you communicate frequently and authentically, that when it comes time to make changes, it's more about coming to an agreement that there needs to be a different direction from one or the other, or who knows, maybe even both at some point in time. But I think it becomes more a discussion about, does the direction fit the individuals? And if it became contentious, that would be unfortunate. But I think you have to look at the business that it is a business. And as you would grow, people aren't just, they're relying on the business, not just you, to be sustainable. So if that would require a change, then I think you have to do that. You have a responsibility to do that.
And do you find it's okay to, you know, disagree in business, even though you're, you know, in business together as a family? Do you find yourself as it's being something healthy when you have these disagreements?
Oh, no, with no question. I think that's a sign. I think if you never have disagreements,
it's a sign that's not good.
Yeah, it's not a good, it is not, you are not doing the right things, because it just, not everyone agrees on everything all the time. And I think as well, you know, we're different generations, and there's going to be disagreements. And if there aren't, then someone is not, does not have the ability to voice their opinion. Mm-hmm. So that is really a byproduct of dysfunction, in my opinion.
That's a great way to put that. Yeah.
So how do you deal with the different generations? I mean, you're talking, you know, probably a difference of, you know, 20 years there from you know, you are in the corporate world. Taylor is probably, you know, his background is, you know, in the startup world. So how do you deal with those those gaps?
Well, the generational gaps, I know it's becoming a little bit trite, but I think, again, it just really requires, you got to be willing to talk about things. You know, I've had such good fortune to listen to so many different speakers, and I've learned so much in my previous career. It was just wonderful that way. And you know, one of the things that I learned is that to be vibrant, period, in your life, you need to be constantly learning. We had a speaker, you may remember, well, you guys might not, but I do. There was a gentleman by the name of Frank Layden. He used to coach the Utah Jazz years ago. I don't know if you remember him, but he spoke to us at a meeting one year. And I remember one of the points that he made is how important, he had just retired, and I think he was 71 years old and was taking classes at the University of Utah just to try to stay current, constantly working his mind, being willing to listen. And he was a very successful basketball coach, obviously. He was the Carl Malone and Stockton to Malone thing. And I really took that to heart. You know, there have been times when I've been in divisions in my previous career where you could feel like maybe everything's going really great. You know, we're doing well, we're making our numbers. But knowing that if you don't continue to educate yourself, you're going to get stagnant. And so if you're committed to making your business grow, you're going to be as committed to learning. I don't know how you can't grow if you don't learn. And you can't learn if you won't listen to a different opinion, whether regardless of the generation.
I have a question for Taylor, because I think this kind of in that generational gap you're mentioning, Jed. You guys are a marketing company, and I'm curious, Taylor, being that you're probably, you know, you're probably more in my generation where technology is a big thing, and you know, I see Jed in that generation of where face-to-face communication and branding is really a big thing. How have you guys used maybe those two areas, or, you know, I could be wrong in assuming those things, but maybe you could talk about that mindset and how you guys have worked that together.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a little bit of a gap there with the technology. I happen to have a little bit better understanding of it with things like graphic design, as well as with marketing, doing Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those different social media modes to market the business that really do draw a lot of business in and get our name out there, are things that Jed, I would say, probably wouldn't have known how to do had me not been here. I mean, he could have found out for himself, obviously, you know, learn how to do it. But me knowing how to do it, I was able to show him different tricks and different things we can do to draw in more a larger audience of people to want to work with us.
You know, it's interesting, and I know the question is for Taylor. It's interesting that you bring that up, because early on, you know, as you point out, I was from the age of, you know, cold calling was get in your car and go knock on doors. And, you know, people just don't, in this day and age, are just not as receptive to that as I'm learning. But I can remember early on thinking, my God, I'd rather see Taylor up and down the street knocking on doors, when in fact, you know, his view, and he was getting so much more done utilizing technology, the ability to pre-qualify the calls that you're going on. And it took me, you know, embracing that humility to understand that things are done differently. The other thing that we're fortunate in that is he has an older brother. I have another son who works at Amazon and manages a sales team, and it's 95% done through technology. And so it's just something I had to learn about and change.
Kind of embrace.
Mm-hmm.
How's that affected maybe your guys' viewpoints? Has technology changed maybe the way you come at leadership development, though? You know, one problem I see is that there's so many tools out there that people just jump into doing tools, and they don't focus on leadership development. And, you know, and I've been guilty of this, focusing on leadership development, self-development, kind of like the stuff you talked about a little earlier, Jed. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I would say that something that we always do that kind of keeps us grounded is that we meet every Monday morning, early in the morning, to discuss what it is that we're trying to accomplish for the week, our goals, and that's kind of like our tools for our marketing and sales to really understand exactly what we need to do every day. And I kind of treat it as almost as if he's my boss, and I send him an updated goal list of what I plan to accomplish the next day and the next day and the next day, just so we can stay on top of our tasks and accomplish all of our goals and all the sales that we're trying to.
You know, and it's interesting. It kind of sometimes this is where family, it kind of crosses over a little bit, kind of in reverse from family to employee versus where I was before. Sometimes things could cross over from employee to family. In that, you know, when we talk on Mondays, you know, we might have a discussion about discipline or commitment or setting a standard or, you know, those types of things that you might talk with one of your children or brothers or sisters. In our case, it's children, but to help them become a better individual. And in my previous world, it was sometimes people, it just is going to happen where people bring their family issues to work, and you end up having frequent discussions about how to balance those things and how they can parallel each other, being a good parent versus being a good employee, and what things are similar, how you can help people learn from each side to be better, each side of their life to be better at what they're doing. And so to the question, I think, was centered around, you know, how often do we use a tool that we might have might find, you know, digitally or on the net or whatever might be out there versus just, you know, sitting down elbow to elbow, belly to belly and talking about, you know, what it takes to be a good leader, what it takes to run a company. You know, we do probably more on the belly to belly than we do utilizing tools. We'll use tools as well that we find that are good ones, but it's as much belly to belly. Even if you find a tool, you're still going to have to talk about it and make sure you both agree on what needs to happen.
No, that's great. I think of just kind of what you're talking about is sort of that leadership development face-to-face, that stuff has to happen. And sometimes it's easy to get stuck in those technology tools and not really work on that. And I do think that's the essence of it. And that's that thing maybe, Jed, of your generation, that you bring such a good balance to the technology side where it's like, hey, you know, technology is good, but if you don't have the right foundation of building your business, the right reasons why, technology is not going to help. You're not going to utilize it correctly.
Yeah, and so, I think it's important so that to talk about it, if you send someone off to look at a tool, which is awesome, it's outstanding, you need to understand how they read it or how they interpreted it or what parts they found to be most beneficial to them versus if you never talk about it, you could be on different pages. When you read it one way, someone else read it another way. It's imperative that you make sure that you both understand things the same way and understand someone else's view of it.
That's great. Well, let's go ahead and move on to the next question. I was curious how you guys look at this legacy, and I think this works really well with what you're currently talking about, is how do you discuss legacy? How do you discuss this idea of passing on a business?
I think that you know, we knew, and I don't know how commonplace this is in family businesses, but we've kind of known from day one that this is a shared business. I right now have obviously the larger investment because I have more resources financially. But at the same time, Taylor has a very large investment as well because he's a young guy and he's taken, you know, a big risk and for his career to say, I'm going to give this thing a start. It could slow down his career development if it wasn't successful. So we both have a huge investment in this. But I think when we talk about the legacy and, you know, passing the torch or whatever it might be, we're in agreement that torch will be passed to him. We're in agreement that we, myself and my wife, have an investment. We are his investors in this business, and we expect that back with a return at some point. As we get closer to that, we've agreed it will be a much more formalized, I don't know if the right word is event, but it'll be formalized. It'll be on paper. It will be drawn up with an attorney and everything will be spelled out that way. But for now, how we're running it, and there's just a given understanding that this business is 50-50 going forward with a commitment for us to get what we wanted to get back. And then some, hopefully.
Jed or Taylor, if you had you know, maybe some recommendations of family members, you know, going into business, because you've done this and it sounds like you've been very successful during this venture. What would be some of the other recommendations that you would recommend making sure that the business is successful, even though it's a family business?
Well, I'd say one thing that at least helps me when I'm trying to be as professional as possible. And people in this, we're in a shared workspace here. They find it kind of amusing is when I call my dad, I actually call him Jed, which is his name. And they just kind of say, oh, I think it's so funny that you call your dad Jed. And I go, well, it keeps it professional and keeps it so that when we are working, I'm in that same mindset of this is someone I'm working with to build this business, as opposed to I'm just hanging out with my dad. I just feel like when you, like things like that, just calling the person by, or if you have a nickname for the person in your family, calling them by those names, it kind of makes it seem a little bit less, professional. And I think just kind of professionalism is very important when trying to start a business.
I also think that I would add to that as well. I just think it's really, really important that the members, however many there are, that it is really clear that everybody has a voice, and it has to be that way. And everyone has to have, I think depending on the size, I think in our situation with just the two of us right now, we have a couple of people that sell a purely commission for us, almost like a brokerage thing. But I think, you know, with us, there are clear default functions. Taylor really hustles the selling side, and I hustle the back end side of things. However, we both know that given where we're at, and it would be the same if we got larger, it just might not happen as frequently, but that each one of us has to kind of go over into that gray area, maybe more frequently than you would in a larger entity than we are today. But as we go forward, those things may be more defined. But I think it's important for people to understand what your primary role is. And one of those primary roles might be to be extremely flexible.
We're talking here about the five do's and don'ts of running a successful family business. We're talking with Jed and Taylor Parker of Rain City Promotions, and just really glad to have you guys here. I think you guys were really just the perfect guys to interview on this. You just have such a great family dynamic here. I took some things from the Harvard Business Review article that I wanted to discuss with you guys. Just get maybe your feedback on what you think about these. But they're suggested do's and suggested don'ts in a family business. So the first one of the suggested do's is make everyone earn their way. What do you guys think about that?
Oh, that is a no question.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And I think that one of the reasons that's so important is it just flat is the case. You know, you've probably heard it before. Maybe it's happened with you, but we all tend to, you've probably heard before where people say, gosh, you're nicer to your family or your friends than you are to your family. And I think we often can default to our family has to take it because we're family. And so I think you really, really have to be aware of that and understand that everybody has a role and they've got to respect that.
Mm-hmm. And then the other one that I wanted to just look at is hire on merit and skill, not because they just need a job. What do you think about that? Now, just before, I just want to mention a couple things for me. You know, I wouldn't necessarily say somebody needs a job, but the reason why I might look at a family member is because I know a lot about them. And oftentimes the behaviors I'm looking for that I'm so familiar with, they have. And they might not have all the skills, but they have the behaviors, and sometimes it's really hard to find good behavior. You can always train on skill. So, but I'm curious what you guys might think of that.
Well, I think I do think that, you know, in our case specifically, and maybe this is just my way of kind of answering this question, I don't believe we could have made a go of this business had we had very similar skills and behaviors that didn't fit what roles we were going to need in this business. We would have had to hire outside of it to get that, and I'm not sure we could have started it up in that case. It would have been a much different structure to do it. I think we were fortunate that we both had complementing skills and behavior really that fit those skills to do it. And I can see where, you know, it would be easy to say, gosh, that person has the skill, but they don't work at it. And that isn't to say that we haven't, just like anyone else. You, being that you've been in a similar business, maybe you've had similar issues where, you know, one of your partners has a skill, but they're not behaving to exacerbate that skill, so to speak. That's, again, where it comes back to, you've got to have some very, very pointed discussions about that and have the humility to accept it and learn from that. I don't know if that answered your question specifically, but that's how I would view that.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good.
Well, we want to thank Jed and Taylor Parker of Rain City Promotions. And if you're looking for any promotion items for your business or for a conference up and coming, don't forget to visit their website. They have a lot of great promotion items, and you can find them at raincitypromotions.com. And definitely they have a Facebook account too, so go ahead and just go to Facebook and type in Rain City Promotions. You can follow them online. I want to thank them for great information of how to build and run a successful family business. Also, we're here every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, where we get loud in the cloud and we talk about technology and marketing and just great aspects of growing your business. And this is definitely was a great show in learning how to run that successful business, being in business with your family. So this is Rob Chandler and Keith Innix telling you to keep your head high and keep your business growing in the clouds. We'll talk to you next Tuesday, and thanks again for joining us.
Thanks so much for listening to Cloud Talk Radio with your hosts, Robert J. Chandler and Keith Innix. Want to listen to past shows and stay up to date on new ones? Check them out online, cloudtalkradio.com. We'll see you next time.